Elder Randy Dillon.
The Lord be with you, Brother Randy.
Today being August the 7th, 2015, I desire an interest in your prayers that whatever I may say at this time will be to the honor and glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And wouldn't you, brother, mind setting that hand off, please?
I got it, brother.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. I lost my voice one time because of sin. As brother closed out this morning, he used a verse that I hope to get to, but I was made to think of, in John's writing while he was preaching, I believe I used this verse at the Catoctin Association, but you know, I just think it's such a wonderful verse to start off with because of the thought that it provokes. Where he said in John, the 5th chapter and the 4th chapter and the 10th and 11th verse, herein is love. You know, the Bible says God is love, but he says herein is love.
Yes.
Not that we love God.
Amen.
That's what the world says, if you just love God.
Right.
I think that was explained well this morning. Herein love, not that we love God, but that he loved us.
Yeah.
While we yet his enemies, our ass.
Absolutely.
That God loved us and sent his son to be propitiation or atonement for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. I think that would just be a good cap to your sermon this morning. As he closed out, he used a verse from Matthew. It was on my mind when I come up here, but I want to go a little further with it. He says in Matthew 11:28-31, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden.
Amen.
And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And once again, I say that's been well explained, but I want a thought out of that, is to whom was the invitation given?
Correct. Important.
Didn't say, all y'all come.
Right. No.
He said, whosoever labor and is heavy laden.
Yeah. Amen.
That's to whom the invitation is.
Sure.
And I say that because in the Philippian letter, in the 2nd chapter, and I think this kind of ties in, I hope you see it. It says in the 2nd chapter and 12th verse, the Apostle Paul says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed. Now, this was to the church.
Sure.
And so we're talking about church obedience. He said, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to do and to will of his good pleasure. Now, before I go any further, he said to work out your own salvation.
Right.
You know, if you garden, and that's about a thing of the past with young people, but if something ain't changed, then many of us going to go back to it. We're going to be glad we got an acre of land that we can plant a few vegetables upon. But you know, if you raise a garden, Or you gonna go to your neighbor's house to hoe your garden? Your neighbor may appreciate it as long as you don't cut his peas down. But that won't do your garden a bit of good. And I tell you, your neighbor's not finna come over to hoe yours just because you went over and hoed his. He didn't put in for that deal. My point is, if you want to have a good garden, it depends on how you tend that garden. You know, you can let the grass and weeds take it, and the fruitfulness of that garden goes down accordingly.
Absolutely.
Now, if you tend it, now, and I'm not a good gardener, but you who know, I know something about it. My mom made me hoe peas when I was a lad. But you know, when you hoe it and get the weeds out and everything, not only can you see if there's any snakes in there, you know, you may not think that's a good thing, but I've seen big rattlesnakes in pea patches. But you can see the ground. But it will produce much more bountifully. So here he commands us to work out our own salvation. Now, if you don't possess it, you cannot work it out.
That's exactly right.
If you're renting, it's not yours.
Right, exactly.
But I'm telling you about working out your own salvation. And once again, he doesn't tell everybody to do it. He said, for it's God which worketh in you the to do and the to will of his good pleasure.
Right.
Now, if God's not working in you, you can't work it out.
Right.
You know, these aren't difficult concepts to understand. They're simple. But you know, it's just like when Christ would tell his apostles, hey, they're going to slew me and 3 days I'm going to rise, and after the resurrection, they still hadn't gotten. Why? God hadn't opened up their understanding. But once God opens up our understanding, once we see that there is a God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, you know, he says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who worketh in you, the to will and to do of his good pleasure. He says, do all things. Now here's something we do real good. Do all things without murmur.
Oh boy.
Now we do that in real good, don't we?
You're meddling now.
Do all things without murmuring and disputing. That she may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as light in the world. Now, you know, as light, I don't know any church that is not concerned about the prosperity of growth, whether it be in knowledge or membership or whatever. Well, you know, this is telling us one of the things necessary.
Right.
Number one, and I agree, it starts out on bending knees. You know, the Bible says lift up holy hands in prayer. You know why the old Baptists don't hold up their hands and pray? Why they pray on bended knees? Because if you pray from your heart, a God-felt prayer, you don't feel worthy, and you don't feel like your hands is holy to lift up on God, but rather in every instance in Scripture, when they came face to face with God, they went to their face. So when we pray, we go to bended knees and humbling ourselves before an all-knowing and all-wise God because we feel so unworthy to come before God. But we're still, though they might not be as bright as they should, each one of us has a light that needs to be shining that others may be drawn by that which they see.
Amen.
Of our conduct. You know, at one time, the name Primitive Baptist alone carried with it, or Old School Baptist carried with it, respect.
That's right.
That's no longer the truth. And most people don't even know that we exist. And that's another subject. But in this, he goes on to say in the next chapter, in the third chapter, he says, "For we are the circumcision." Now, he told us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. He says, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." Now, you know, I said that we all can work out a salvation if we have it. Well, you know, he said, we are the circumcision. You know, in Romans, he said very plainly that he's not a Jew which is one outwardly, but he's a Jew which is one inwardly, and that of the heart in the spirit, and not of the letter, whose praise is not of men,
amen,
but of God.
That's where we are.
So when we see in this verse, we're the circumcised, he's talking about a Jew who's not circumcised outwardly. He's not talking about a Jew who is by nature. But he's talking about a Jew who is one inwardly by the Spirit of God that has a new creature indwelling in him. That is the individual who's laboring and heavy laden. That's the individual who can work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. For I tell you, when you feel to be a poor, wretched sinner, there's no way that you feel proud that you can do something for the Lord, but rather you feel humbled that you're glad that Lord would even let you hoe in his garden.
Amen.
And as he said, "For we are the servants which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus."
Right.
Now, you know, my heart longs for what I hear preached in the world. I see huge churches, and they claim to believe in Jesus. And they claim heaven's going to be their home. And they may well be right. But the Jesus that they believe in is not the Jesus of the Bible. Because the Jesus of the Bible works his will among the armies of heaven and inhabits earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, "What doest thou?"
Right.
Jesus of the Scripture did a perfect work upon Calvary Street.
Amen.
I don't know what part of that is so difficult, because you can ask somebody, "Don't you believe Jesus did a perfect work?" Well, yeah. Well, then you believe that some that he died for is not going to make it. If that's true, he didn't do a perfect work. But the Jesus of the Scriptures, the Jesus that we rejoice in, we realize we're not saved because of our faith, but we're saved in spite of what we've done. We've been saved by the blood of Jesus for a reason that we can't fathom: a God that loves us with an everlasting love even before the world began. Even before we was put into existence. You know, in one of the songs over there, he says, "When as yet there was none of us." That's when he loved us. That's when he wrote a book with our names in it. "When as yet there was none of us." For what reason Could God love us? But you know, I think the Bible answers that. In the book of Revelations, if I can find it, he says in 4:11, he says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things." Now that would include us. Now we're going to find out why he created us. "For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." We was created to give God praise, honor, and glory. We was created and put into a garden of Eden of perfection. And we sold it out for knowledge. God once again put Israel in a garden of Eden-like setting. And they sold them out. When Christ came, and they were looking for him. They wasn't ignorant concerning the coming of Christ. When the wise men came and they said, "Where is the King of Jews to be born?" They went and looked in the scripture and said, "Bethlehem." They understood where Jesus was to be born. They understood the circumstances about his birth. And listen, he wasn't born under a bush, but the angels came and sung glory, and they were seen by the shepherds. And they said, "Let us go behold this thing." So this wasn't done in darkness or in secret. And people begin to hear about what had been done. And yet, they knew the truth, but they didn't believe the truth. Some people don't believe that you can know the truth and not believe it. But surely, they had to know. And, you know, as you read and study scriptures, you find out that Jesus Christ did marvelous things among them. You know, a lot of people believe that there was only one person that touched the hem of his garment and was healed. If you study, you'll find out that that happened many times. There was one lady that had issue of blood. We have an issue of blood. And she said, "If I could but touch the hem of his garment." We can relate if we can but touch the hem of his garment. But there was others, there was many others that came and touched the hem of his garment and was healed. The Apostle Peter was so endowed by the power from on high that people would lay on the street that his passing, his shadow might fall upon them, and they was healed. Who worship with the circumcised, who worship Jesus, worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus. You know, when he said worship God in the Spirit, God is a Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Yeah. There's no other way.
Amen.
This isn't optional. And when we rejoice in Christ Jesus, you know, on that day of Pentecost, they began to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And Peter said, "That same Jesus,
right,
whom ye have crucified," right, "whom ye taken by wicked hands,"
yes,
"and crucified. God has made him both Christ
and Lord."
And Lord.
That's right.
Lord. The Bible says, "And they was pricked in their heart."
Right.
The preaching of the gospel pricks us in the heart.
Yeah.
Doesn't prick tall men in the heart.
Some of them get cut.
Some get cut. Doesn't prick tall. But if you've been pricked in the heart, that's evidence that we're belongs to Him.
Amen.
Not because we chose Him.
Right. No.
But because He chose us.
Amen.
And the Father gave us to the Son.
Right.
Who agreed unconditionally to do whatever it takes to buy back those that the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost loved.
Amen.
Here in His love. And He came in the appointed time.
Right.
At the appointed hour.
Right time.
It was no other time. You know, if it had been me, hey, I'd have came today. We'd have put it on the internet and it went all the way around the world in just 10 seconds.
Yep.
Do we think we know better than God? You know, people sometimes amaze me. They say, well, that's the way that writer pinned it down. Who do you think you are? Are you a Paul or a Peter? You know, Abraham Lincoln in the Gettysburg Address, he said, is there any among us, speaking of the Constitution, said, would change one word? Well, I got a greater book than that,
Amen.
This book.
Amen. That's exactly right.
Who thinks he could alter one word and make it better?
Yeah.
You know, that's beyond my understanding, my comprehension. God is omnipotent.
He is.
He's all knowing.
He is.
He's all wise.
All
powerful. All powerful. All love.
Everywhere.
And loved us with a love that the Bible calls it agape.
Amen.
I believe that's a Greek word.
Agape. Yeah.
A love, He loved us unconditionally. And Jesus Christ satisfied that which we could not satisfy. Back over there in Ephesians, I wanted a little bit more of me from Philippians. In that second chapter, he said, and have no confidence in the flesh. We're circumcised, which worship God in the Spirit, will rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now for all them preachers that think they're so good, that save so many by the work of the flesh,
yeah.
I challenge them right here. Fourth verse, Paul says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh,
yeah.
If any other man thinketh that he hath worth he might trust in the flesh, I'm more.
Sure.
And I don't think that means just that group standing there. I believe it reaches to today,
yep.
And it'll be true when Jesus comes again. Yes. If any other man thinks he can have confidence in the flesh, Paul said, I'm more.
Yep.
Now, he's going to use the law. But that's what you got to use. Because if it ain't by law, it's by grace. He was circumcised 8 days according to the law. He said, circumcised 8 days of the stock of Israel. You know, at one time they said, we be under bondage. No man, we be Israel.
Abraham's seed.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Abraham, of Israel,
yeah.
Of the tribe of Benjamin. As touching Hebrew, the Hebrew of Hebrew, as touching the law. Now get this, a Pharisee.
Yeah.
At least he believed in the resurrection of the dead.
The Sadducees
did not.
Right.
Concerning zeal persecuting the church.
Yeah.
You tell me what difference between those people and people that persecute us today.
That's right.
Concerning zeal, persecuting, touching righteousness, which is in the law,
blameless.
Yeah. He didn't say guiltless, he said blameless.
Right.
Blameless. If he made mistakes, he went and did what was necessary. It didn't make him guiltless.
Right.
But his best his knowledge, he's blameless. You couldn't take the law and bring any blame against him. But what things were gained to me, those I counted for loss.
Right.
What, he just throw them away? Yeah, listen.
Yeah.
Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. I don't have to explain that word to you. That I may win Christ. It's all about winning Christ. Well, I thought you said he free gift, unearned and unmerited. Yes, but we got to work out our own salvation. We got to give him the honor and the glory if we want the benefits of our salvation on this side of the grave. And this is what he's talking about. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him.
Right.
This is what we all want.
Amen.
That I might know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made comfortable unto his death. And he goes on, and I close out with this verse from 13. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. Listen, we've all sinned. We're sinners. We're not worthy to come in the back door. But for the blood of Jesus Christ. Reaching forth unto those things which are before, I pressed toward the mark for the prize.
That's it.
Of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Let us
Amen.
Lay aside the weight that doeth so easily beset us and run the race with patience. May
Amen.
God bless you.
Looking
to Jesus.
Amen. You often finish your about faith.
About faith. Amen, brother. 'Twas grace that taught my